Tonight's the night. And it's going to happen again and again. Has to happen.
Tell me a story.
See, we got blogs, we got podcasts. You know, the information won't stop. It comes in through your head, bleeds out your eyes, and it's all crap. You know? See, you gotta dare for greatness these days to get people's attention. Did I get yours?
Tell me a story.
Dreams die. No. No, no, no. Not by themselves. We kill them.
It's 90% bullshit.
What is entertaining?
Tell me a story.
What?
Tell me a story.
What? What? Not tomorrow, not after breakfast. Now!
The FCC, an appointed body, not elected, answerable only to the president, decided on its own that radio and television were the only two parts of American life not protected by the First Amendment to the Constitution. Why did they decide that? Because they got a letter from a minister in Mississippi.
What's this? Two comedians doing another radio show? This ought to be good.
Conti, the self-loathing, insecure, egomaniac whose gambling issues and creepiness is only overshadowed by his savant-like knowledge of dates and numbers and his keen sense of direction.
I'm a guinea. Listen, your skin is your biggest organ.
Especially if you're not circumcised.
I think I'm dead inside.
Aw, me too.
I am not a happy person.
Fucking jerk-offs. What's going on here? Help me! You're not gonna suck it. Get out. Well, do I sound that much of a dick? I'm singing in the rain!
Kenny, the functioning alcoholic whose flair for waffling and fence riding is second to none. A metrosexual who is an emotional tube sock with a touch of brilliance for the obscure.
I'm a vagina champion.
There's no possible way that I can get anyone pregnant.
No. I'm waffling again.
Some 18-year-old webcam girl getting railed.
You ever get a blowjob from someone in a pool who keeps snot bubbling? I'll retard my smartness.
Together, they are the Conti and Kenny Show.
I love baby urine.
The Conti and Kenny Show.
The vision is real. The power is reawakening. The fear is reborn. Because they have returned. Because they have returned.
Yep, we have returned. It's the Conti and Kenny Show, of course, broadcasting every Monday night from morelikeradio.com in the non-productive studios in Clifton, New Jersey, non-pro, which has a bunch of cool shows on it, like the Line Cutters and the Loud Idiots. But we broadcast on More Like Radio. But we love the studio here, and we love Frank. I don't know why I'm kissing Frank's ass. What's up, Kenny?
And we also broadcast in Boston.
Yes, we also do a show in Boston on WMEX. Now we're on Fridays and Saturday nights.
Yeah, for everybody listening on Friday nights. Whoops.
Yeah. We didn't realize it was on both nights, and we were recording it for Saturday. So we sounded like idiots for the last 5 weeks. But we are on, it's a 50,000-watt channel. And we are on Friday and Saturday night at 1 a.m. You can also listen on the TuneIn, just like you can listen here. So we're worldwide, as every single person with the podcast who listens online says. Worldwide. But we're actually on an AM channel, too, which is kind of cool.
Yeah, well, we got people in Scotland and Denmark. We know we're worldwide.
We are worldwide.
Other people assume.
Yeah, we know.
Assume away.
That's right. We have two people in Europe that listen to us, so we're worldwide.
That's funny.
Yep, the phone number, if you want to call, it's 240-442-2635. If you could put that in the chat room. And that's important right now. If you want to be part of the show, If you don't want to just listen, if you're listening on TuneIn or if you're listening on More Like Radio or if you're listening in podcast and you want to be part of this, go to morelikeradio.com/live. And then there's a chat room and you can watch and you can listen and you can be part of this disaster because there are some real pieces of garbage that listen to this show and they get to say awful things in the chat room. And we decide what they want to hear, what we want to let out.
They also like Big Rich posted, and I guess he was listening to another show, Big Rich from Arizona.
Mm-hmm.
It's you know, that the little vines that Brent will, you know, anybody will put up there?
Yeah.
It's two wrestlers, and one breaks the other guy's neck.
Oh, really?
And it's just over and over again, yeah.
Breaks his neck? Does he die?
I don't know. I just see him breaking. What he does, it's the 69 position, except if he was eating his ass. Got what I'm saying?
Okay.
So he's basically holding the guy's legs where he's licking his taint, oof, and the guy is facing away from him.
Okay.
And then he wraps his legs around the guy's legs that's upside down and then dives forward. And then the guy, his neck doesn't fully make it and just fucking jacks his neck up. But, of course, the chat room hasn't filled up yet, so it keeps replaying over and over again.
Oh, okay.
But Big Scott's is there. Roy Black's there.
Ah, yes. They're probably, I would think, Big Scott's, Will, and Roy Black on crack, I would think the two biggest degenerates that are in our listeners.
Well, Big Scott says he just wrote, Europe bows to CNK. Oh, thanks, pal.
Oh, I'm blushing.
Yeah, it's only because we saved your ass from Hitler. You still owe us.
Yes, you owe us 35,000 francs. Francs.
Yeah, gotcha.
Francs. 35,000 francs. Hello. Okay.
Real quick, speaking of Europe,
mm-hmm.
did you I just saw it on Yahoo News.
Yeah.
Some guy was watching a movie, Stuart Little. Right? Okay. Remember the movie Stuart Little?
I never saw it, but I know of the movie, right?
It was the kid Lipnicki from the Jerry Maguire. Remember that movie?
Oh, the little kid. Yeah,
it was him, and the father was the guy who plays House.
I just saw a picture. For some reason, I saw it on the, you know, like on the cover of like AOL today, but I didn't know what it was for. And I'm like, oh wow, that's you know, holy cow, that's Hugh Laurie. I didn't realize
Hugh Laurie. Yes, that's what it was. Well, what it was, some Hungarian art historian is watching Stuart Little, and he sees in the background, and there's a painting. Of a Hungarian Jewish painter from World War II that went missing in like 1920, World War I.
The painting went missing or the guy went missing?
The guy, I guess the painting went missing. I'm not sure if the guy went missing.
Really?
Yeah. So he's like, oh shit, that looks familiar. And then he got in touch with the production designer and it turns out it's actually real. And the guy got it from, they think he was a Hungarian Jew that escaped Germany, you know what I mean, or Europe.
Okay.
And hung out in California, and a guy picked it up for like $5 at a fucking antique shop.
Really?
Yeah, and they're going to sell it for like a couple hundred grand or something.
Wow.
But he was just watching a movie, and he's like, oh, shit, that's a lost painting.
Damn.
Yeah, that's pretty cool, though, when you go to a garage sale and people find a fucking Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, you hear about that.
On
yeah.
fucking Easy Street from then on.
All I find is a bad footstool. I find nothing. Or you just find something that smells of stool. It's usually just garbage.
Brent just put it in the chat room. And there's a picture. It's Gina Davis is the mom, too. And you can see it in the background in the living room. It's a woman sleeping with a vase, it's called.
Oh, okay.
And, yeah, it was pretty good. The guy was just watching it with his kids, and he's like, I know that fucking painting. Too bad my mother can't find a painting. All she does is find a fish poacher and a fucking aspic cutter.
Okay.
You know, you don't even know what an aspic cutter is, do you?
I have no idea.
It's the 1920s version of Jell-O, and you cut little heart shapes. It's little gelatinous jelly shit.
Really?
She's got all kinds of shapes and sizes, but she picks up like plates with chickens on them, and that's it.
Your mother's a freak, dude.
No works of art.
Something really wrong with your mom. She's a volunteer fireman, and she's basically a hippie who never does drugs, and she's got a potty mouth on her, and she helps women get milk out of their boobs.
Yeah, that pretty much sums her up. And she's psychotic.
Well, it's when you have the word she and then the word psychotic afterwards, it's not a, you know, that's not like a revelation. You know, they're all psychotic. It's just the level of
psychosis. I had dinner with her last night.
Oh, very nice. Look at you having dinner with your mother.
Yeah, I was sick of turkey, and she was sick of turkey too. So she made a big roast beef, homemade roast beef.
Oh, okay. It was
delicious.
Very nice. Look at her doing some stuff for her kid.
Yeah.
Colorado dickhead in the chat room. How are you, sir? What's going on? I had to spend a couple hours with my dad last night. He came over to help fix a door. We had a closet door, and we couldn't get the screws out of the one thing for the new hinges.
Uh-huh.
So he had to come over with his drill and he starts barking orders around. All right, you go get me this stool, and then I got to get this one piece, and then you hold the door like this, and then we hold the door like that, and then we finally got the door on, but then when we go to close it, it wouldn't close. So we had to adjust it so it would fit, then it fit, then it wouldn't stay closed. You know when the door closes and the little thing opens, the little latch thing that you push back and forth right by the door handle, then it goes in, and then it flops back out, and it locks in? It wouldn't lock in, so now he's got the drill, and he's cutting wood, and
he just goes, it's a haunted.
He
probably kept asking, you got a drill? No. You got a glue? No.
Oh yeah. you got him one of them Allen and Key? No. I'm like, you know what, how about let me ask, or let me find out first.
That's a great
that
clip.
Is a classic. I didn't realize how funny that was.
Big Scott Swill in the chat room, he goes, you got hinges? No. Brent, right after him, a second later, goes, you got a screwdriver?
No. Oh, my God. That is so funny.
Literally, they did that on their own. They didn't hear it a bit because they came in. They came in super fast.
Yeah, because it's just
you got a screwdriver? No.
No.
You got a hinges? No. No.
It's like, I got nothing, apparently. I don't know why you're here. Apparently, I didn't even have a friggin' a door to even get this done. Just amazing.
You got a newer door? No. You got too many cats? So yes.
You want to hear? You want to hear the edited version, the one that we play on the AM channel, real quick?
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
With the bleeps in it, it actually makes it a little funnier. All right, check this out.
So they know what we're doing. Yeah.
Here, this is the bit.
Conti and Kenny show.
This is funny.
My father, he's the worst. He'll ask for something, but he always. He'll ask you, like he asked if we had measuring tape. But he always goes, you got measuring tape? No. I'm like, could you let me answer first?
Automatically knows
always
you don't.
Always does that. Just assumes that.
Yeah. You got anything we need? No, you don't.
No. He would just go, you got a measuring tape? No. I'm like, then no. Apparently we don't. Nostradamus knows that we don't have the measuring tape.
You ever putting curtains up? You got screws? No.
All the time. He'll be like, hey, did you call about the medical bill? No. I'm like, you know what? Why'd you ask? Why'd you ask?
He just called
me
that you fired
you
up. He just called to get you fired.
Yeah. Jonathan Edwards. You're a negative Jonathan Edwards. Don't even ask. Hey, did you go to work today? No. All right, then. You. Always does that. Always does that.
The Conti and Kenny
show. The blanking of
Monday
the fuck
night,
you is kind of funny.
MoreLikeRadio.com.
Yeah. And it's I picked pretty good music for that one. Not too over the top guinea, but just guinea enough to make the bit work.
Yeah, and it works for the Boston show.
Yeah. Oh my God, it's just
did
so
you
funny.
Did you hear the Boston show at all? Yeah.
I did. I actually did.
I've
thought it was pretty good.
It's a good show, but I got to stop going
That's what I do on this show, and when I listen to it,
I don't know why the hell I do that. Time it's my mind is. You know what it is? It's probably because I got to fit everything in so fast in an hour before the breaks. And I just got to sit there and go, but I want to talk about that. But I want to say that.
Well, I think also because we're doing it and we're it's two things. It's censored, so we can't, you know, say certain things and talk about certain things. And also, we have a certain time frame where we got to get, you know, like we do this show, we go an hour. It slows down to a halt sometimes, like it's now, or it go, you know, or it goes for a while, but it's nothing. And with that, it's like, hey, every 12, 13 minutes, we got to take a quick break. And it's like, you know, we just get started.
Yeah.
And then it's like, all right, got to take a break. And you're just like, you're kidding. I'm like, no, not kidding at all. It's not happening. So that's the difference. But yeah, you're a little bit more in tune with critiquing yourself. You're a little bit more aware of the things you're doing when you're listening to that, because you're like, oh, this is what I do every week when I listen to this show in the podcast. I go, oh, could I stop with the and the and just a bad line? Although I'm finding out I'm becoming an expert on throwing out a bad line and then coming up with a gem about how bad my line was. I'm enjoying that a lot.
You've had a couple of really good lines on the Saturday Night Show that are funny, and a couple of them I've plowed through. I think I texted you Saturday night.
Yeah.
And I was like, there was a couple of them. I forget the line, but I was like, I'm listening back and I fucking busted out like loud, laughed out loud. And I was like, that was a good line. And I didn't even fucking pay attention to it. But you deserve recognition for it.
Oh, okay. I'll take recognition for something. for outstanding performance. What are you?
For outstanding performance by an Italian.
Yes, by an Italian for laying out a shitty joke and covering up with a funny line about how shitty his joke was. The Academy gives it to Joe.
Yeah, so, and your dad's going to give you the Lifetime Achievement Award.
Yeah, it's called the No Award. Get it? No Award, but the No Award. See, it's a twofold there. Okay.
So your dad's hooking up the doors.
Yeah.
Did he wind up finishing? Or,
yeah,
or
we finished, but then, you know, and the thing is, this morning, from when we did the wood, all the work from the wood last week and the week before, we had all of this bulk garbage with all the carpet, all the extra wood, all this other stuff that we threw out. We had, I would say, 15 to 20 big contractor bags out front.
Wow.
So today was the pickup. So we had it on the side of the house for like the last week and a half, and it sucked, you know. It looked so, but everything was in bags except for a few things. So last night I brought all the bags to the front of the house, and I don't work on Mondays. I don't do anything on Mondays. So when the guys came, I went out there and I had an Andrew Jackson or a Madison or whatever it was, little $10 bill. And because they can take it, but there's two pickups during the week. So if you have a real lot of stuff, they don't have to take all of it. They go, look, we're not taking all this crap. We'll come back in, you know, like Thursday, whatever the other day is. But I didn't want that to happen. I wanted to just get it over with. So I went out there, and the two brothers and then the guy who was driving the truck, figures it's a white guy driving the truck, and then the two brothers. Yeah,
put,
it's like, come
the
on,
black guys in the
come
back
on,
out in the
give
snow,
give yeah. give the brother let the brother fucking drive the truck, will you? You know, and you know, just tell him to keep it out of, you know, don't go past fifth gear, you know, don't go crazy with it.
Take turns already. It's the new millennium. Have you seen Ferguson?
Yeah, exactly. we'll be getting into that later. Yeah. But yeah, so they came around and I'm waiting for them, and I'm like, what's up, fellas? I'm like, I got a lot of shit here, but I go, you know, here's a, you know, some coffee for you guys, and maybe you want to, you know, split a tuna sandwich or whatever.
Or a crack rock.
Yeah. So he took it, gave it to the guy, and they all came out. So four, and I'm grabbing bags too. And the four of us, boom, banged it out. 2 minutes, done. Except the one bag, got it by the garbage truck, and it busted. And all this wood fucking just fell out of the bag. And then we had to pick up the wood and throw it in the garbage container. But, yeah, it worked out good. So today my father's calling me. It's like 6 o'clock. I'm on my way here. And he's like, did they take everything from at the front? I'm like, yeah, they did. Oh, okay. Like, it was almost like he was almost a little down. Like, there wasn't a problem. And I told him, we gave him like $10. I goes,
That's what you got to do, you know. You know, you got to give these guys a few dollars, and then they're. You got to, but the problem is that the guys, it's never the same guys anymore. Used to be the same guys, then they know I'm the guy that comes around with the sambuca during the Christmas time, and then I give a $10 in, a $5 here, when I got a 25 bags of my leaves from when I got to blow my leaves all over the place. So it's like, you know, and it's true. Like the,
with the sambuca. Yeah.
Yeah, with the one time when we got rid of the couches, when we just ripped the couches apart. And we just had to rip it all apart, and it was bags, and they stunk so bad. And I was like, yo, I had like a $20. I'm like, yo, bro, you know, if you guys don't mind, let's just, you know, you guys don't mind just taking this. And they were like, he looked at the $20. I was like, shit, yeah. You know, he was like, all right, nice. You know, so they, you know, unloaded it, but it wasn't the same guys.
Yeah.
So you got to, you know, I got to make a whole new first impression with these dudes every time. And of course, you know, I'm a cool guy. You know, I'm very likable. I'm like, I'm helping him out. You know, I always look at everybody. I don't care if you're a garbage man or you're an, you know, you're a CEO. I'm going to treat everybody the same. Like, hey, what's up, man? What's going on? You know, how you doing?
Sure.
Because that's just the way I am. You know, I don't care, you know, unless you're somebody I just don't like. And so it worked out good. And but then my father, when he called me, goes, so the door, she's still good? I go, yeah, so far. He goes, it didn't fall down? Or? I'm like, no, not yet. Okay, I thought maybe by now the door would have fallen. I'm like, really? Like, he's just like sort of funny, but he's not funny. And my father's getting a kick out of the fact that, did you hear my voicemail? I don't know. Did you hear how I didn't realize for like the last 4 years, I didn't even have like an actual greeting. It was just the automated thing. So I'm like, I got to change the greeting on my phone. And I changed the greeting. And what I was trying to say was, look, I'm terrible at calling people back. I'm going to make a concerted effort to call people back. And that was my voicemail. Like, hey, what's up? It's Joe Conte. Please leave
your tone of voice changed. Yeah.
And did you hear that one?
Yeah, yeah, no. And it's like, listen, I'm going to really try to get back to you.
But I said, I go, hey, this is Joe Conte. Please leave your name, number, and I'm going to make a concerted effort to get back to you as soon as I can. Well, everybody hammered me for that so bad.
Did they really?
Oh my God, Levy was laying into me on Bob's show. Calling me such a pompous ass because I'll make it. I, you know, I'm like Thurston Howell III. I'm like, please leave your name and number and I'll make an effort to call you back. Right?
I didn't take it like that.
You know what? When I heard it, I understood. Like, wow, what a dick. Like, what a pompous douche I am. And that's what it sounded like. So my dad.
But you weren't being. I didn't see. Maybe
I didn't know. That's not what it meant for me. I did not play it out like that, but that's how it sounds.
Right, but I took it as you going, listen, guys, I know I'm shitty at calling people back. I'm really going to try this time, and I'll try to get back to you. That's how I took it, because that's probably how I would say it.
Because you're bad or worse
just
than
as
me.
Bad. I'm worse. Yeah. I'm worse.
So my dad is having a blast with that, because he's like, he called me before, to ask about the door, and he goes, you still making an effort to call the people back? And he's laughing, and he was like, my dad doesn't laugh like belly laugh. He just will giggle a little bit, but, you know, my father has to be the one to make the joke to laugh.
Big Scott's in the chat room. You make a concerted effort? No. That's funny.
And he was dying, and he was like, eh. And I was like, well, I said, you know, and I changed it again. I changed it again. I tried to make it a little bit less snotty, pompous sounding. But he was just having a blast with that. He's like, you know, and he's like, you're still making an effort? And I'm like, yeah, well, you know, for now, maybe I won't someday. And then it became maybe someday, and he's got to make the maybe someday thing, you know, which
right.
I think most of the listeners know my dad with his maybe someday, which is just his little three-worded thing that means, hey, you know, maybe you'll get a little hoo-ha, you know?
That's his little, maybe someday get a little, you know, and so it's just.
Your dad says maybe someday my grandfather said, you getting any hay for your donkey?
Yeah, so it's been a weird week or so, and now we haven't done the Bob Levy show for like a week because we were like Bob was doing some other stuff and yada yada yada, and we had to get some stuff straightened out, and we're starting back up tomorrow on the channel, so it'll be back on there weeknights 10 to midnight, and then on Friday and Saturday we'll be doing 1 a.m. to 2 a.m. I'm doing like 15 hours of radio a week.
I know, right?
Yeah. I tell you, I should be making some really good. Oh yeah, that's right. That's
maybe fine. Some a day.
Yeah.
That's a terrible idea.
Yeah, exactly. It might not have been a good idea.
Yeah,
but I'm maybe, really enjoying. Someday. I'm enjoying doing the show with you, and I'm actually enjoying doing the show with Bob, and on the one show. I'm the chief, the head honcho, and the other show, I'm the gay dude. How the fuck did I become the gay dude?
Yeah, the gay.
Never figure that out. That's one thing. I've been called many things, gorillas, many things in my day. I've never been referenced as the gay guy, and Dave Cyrus can absolutely understand what I'm talking about.
I don't know, Joe. You voted for Obama like twice. You gotta admit, that's a lot.
That makes me a gay gorilla.
that's like evidence you're gay like twice.
Right? Yeah. Just because you know. I it all started on Levy's show when we were talking about and I was being honest. I'm like, yeah, whoever this guy was they were talking about, I'm like, yeah, you know what? I understand why the chick digs him. He's a fucking good looking dude. And Bob is like, whoa, wait a minute. And I'm like, what? You're not okay with yourself to be able to look at another guy and realize, hey, that guy probably gets a lot of pussy. Like, really? And I'm now the gay dude. And it's just, and I'm fine with it because I don't care.
Well, it's radio, though. That's what fucking
radio exactly. Is. I don't care. It's, you know? But it's just so, it's weird. Like, every time if you were being called the hippie. And they were like, yeah, Dave, way to be a hippie. You would be like, okay, this is radio, and I'm okay with it because I don't care, but really? I'm not used to it.
Oh, yeah.
This is Dave Cyrus, everybody, our pal, who was here last week. Brickstone on Twitter, Brickstone News.
And if you for example, if you were, whoever you are, if you are on the right radio show with the right group of people, you can be anyone because that's how much of a cartoon people become. That like, oh yeah, there are plenty of rooms where I know plenty of radio shows where you would be the bouncer. You'd be the muscle. You'd be the tough guy, the big Jersey galoot.
And then
there's just as many rooms where it's like, everybody put some rose petals on the ground. Josephine's coming in the room. We know both those people. I know which shows I'm specifically talking about.
Oh shit, man. Kenny's on Skype.
Hey, what's up, Ken?
What's up there, pal?
Is Matt on? Is Matt with you?
Yeah, he's on the way.
Was he? Oh, he's meeting us here.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Just a lot of traffic.
Okay, cool.
Big Scott's in the chat said, I saw a gay porn magazine the other day called Eurobears.
Eurobears.
Let's be perfectly clear about this. Not that I want to jump on this bandwagon or anything, but no one accidentally ever sees a gay porn magazine. You have to go through so many levels to get to see the cover of any. I've never, and I'm a filthy human being who's done porn. I can't remember ever in my life seeing the cover of a gay porno magazine.
Even, today, across the street, right before I got here, I went to go get a drink, and it was the Krausers across the street. I don't know if you've been in there, but to the left of it, they just redid the whole thing, Kenny. And to the left of it is all of the dirty magazines. In the a little bit further back where the guys are, and I'm sitting there going, well, first of all, who's still buying dirty magazines?
They're like $14.
They're ridiculous, right? I mean,
who's nostalgic enough that they're paying that much for porn.
You're using the word, you're using nostalgia as the reason for somebody using it. Like, come on, just like your Tessio in The Godfather. Like, come on, for old time's sake, let's jack off to a picture of a girl in a spread of the middle of the magazine. But it's like, who's buying that anymore?
I mean, you have to get to a pretty deep level of perverted, like, what's the word I'm looking for here? Like, you have to be such a degenerate, like such a degenerate human being that you can't even get internet.
That type of that you can't even get the internet.
Yeah, nor do they have the wherewithal to figure out how much money they're wasting on paper porno compared to what the internet would cost them. Like, one porno magazine would actually get you like 2 months of cheap access. Like, it's ridiculous how much of a waste porno is to buy. And I remember when I was, you know, before I could legally buy it, getting a porno magazine was like Mission Impossible. I mean, everyone's done this. You can't even, even want to talk about it because everyone just knows when you were 13, like, you know, Ron Bennington makes the point about if you found a porno magazine, you built a house around it, and that's where tree houses came from.
Right. He said that. That's brilliant.
Yeah, like, there's no better point you can make, or that the point Anthony makes, which is you would see a broken, unspooled VHS on the side of the road and you would re-spool it assuming it was porno, or you would find just a tattered magazine and you would start looking, oh, there's some untouched,
there's always a spot for the magazines.
Dave, real quick before you even finish what you were just saying, Brent, someone has to buy the porn mags to keep the tradition of young kids finding their first porno in the woods.
Yeah.
Before you even finished, he posted that.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
funny.
It was one of those things where you used to ride your bikes and you'd go through all kinds of wood. Because when you were a kid, like, I feel like, I don't know if they really don't still do this anymore, but like from when I was a kid, like, you know, 20 years ago when I was a child, and for the going back hundreds of years probably, or like 100 years, kids would do the same thing. You would go into the same parts of the country that criminals and pedophiles would already live in because they were the cheapest areas no one cared about. So you would just go into the woods. You would go into like shallow wooded areas and bike trails and walking paths. And that's also where all the teenage criminals would go. And that's where 9-year-olds were expected to ride their bikes.
Yeah. And that's where we found a case of Guinness ale on a path that was still cold. So somebody left it there. Assuming. To go, all right, we'll leave it here. We got to go back somewhere else. We'll come back and then we'll drink it. They left it there, and you would see half folded over dirty mags that would be like a little banged up because it either got rain on it, but you would go halfway through, and somewhere in the middle, you get 5 or 6 pages that were still nice. And it wasn't even if it wasn't real filthy, even if it was like a Playboy, just to see a nude girl, or it was where you go into the ones where we used to look, it's like if it was a Playboy or a Penthouse, you would go into the back where it was all the dirty numbers. And that's where you would see pictures of girls taking it in the mouth.
Yeah, those were always the best part of the magazine.
But there was always a dot over the place where you would see the penis and the girl's mouth. But right where they touched, there'd be a black dot.
Yeah, it's called showing a little fucking class, Joe. It's called having a little sense of decency.
Oh, God, they were killing us. It's like, please, that's the spot we were looking for.
But yeah, Roy Black in the chat room just posted a picture of Eurobear, one of their covers. And one of my favorite numbers to find in the back of the magazine was an 800 number, something like that. And it was called Cunt Farts.
You know what's great about that?
That was it.
Yeah. What's great about that is right to this day, because I did this the other day just hanging out, we were like, if you just call 1-800 any 7-letter phrase, it's a current sex line. Like, it's actually really funny. If you just right now, if you called 1-800 fisting,
and if it fits the numbers, it's going to be.
It's the funniest fucking thing ever. 1-800-fisting immediately, like, hey, you want to see some hot guy up to his elbow? Like, I swear to God, 1-800-fisting, 1-800.
Felching or something like that.
I don't think I tried felching, but it was the ones that were like just obvious,
right?
Like 1-800-big-tits.
Right. Okay. Right.
Can you try that joke?
Are we allowed? Would we be allowed to play the answer machine message for 1-800-fisting? I wish we hadn't said it, because then you just say, guess what number we're calling.
Let's see, 1-800. What do you want to try?
Do you need me to help you spell fisting?
Should I just do fisting?
Yeah, do 1-800-FISTING just to start. And then
F-I-S-T-I-N-G. Call 1-800-347-8464. All right. If it's live, I hang up right away. I was always like that.
Gentlemen, welcome to 1-800-FISTING.
Wait, listen for how long they give you before you even money's even involved.
He's really relaxed. He can take two. He found just what he was looking for right here. Another dude, this master, he likes to work his slaves slowly and methodically so that once he's in, there's nothing left to do but drive it home. You can meet him here, too. Just 69 cents a minute for amateur talk and voice personals, and only $2.99 a minute for live one-on-one talk with the hottest and most uninhibited men. Brought to you by National. You must be over 18. Enter your credit card now to meet the studs ready to fill you up.
They really set the table there. And now we're
no credit card?
Now
try and collect callback.
To,
dial 1-215-454.
We're being connected to an operator. Right
yeah.
Now.
Yeah. That's fantastic. All right, show of hands. Who got a little wiggle? Who got a little wiggle in their pants? Who got a little wiggle? Huh? I know Roy Black on crack wiggle a little bit. And the music's great, too.
You know what my favorite part about that is that guy clearly does voiceover for a living, and this was just what he
did
that
day. This was
just,
he's not gay.
No, that guy was like, and you definitely get the best, it's definitely the best gift for the holidays. Make sure to get her a Bear-gram and fill her day with joy. She'll be very happy.
All right, what else we got?
Hey, do you want to have a fist up to its elbow in your asshole? Sure you do. Come on.
Yeah, he had a good voice. He's selling Build-A-Bears on Friday and Saturdays.
Yeah.
He's fisting.
Yeah, he's fisting bears on Friday.
No, it's not even
Sunday.
Days. It's like second to second. He'd be like, all right, we got this one out of the way. There's a sig alert out for Route 81. Make sure you be careful about that tonight, guys. And that's Joey C. with your all-weather forecast.
Because these guys, they sit at home all day, and that's what they make their money. They just do, they have their little studios built in their house, and they just make... They have make a great living just doing voiceover work. And, wow, that's great.
How much does the guy make who's fisting?
Well, I've worked in this field. I've worked in psychic hotlines. So
oh, that's right.
Same price, actually.
That.
$3 a minute.
Same
that's
thing,
pretty
huh?
much. That's slightly cheaper than ours was. But if you bought in bulk, if you buy like 100 minutes, it's down to $3 a minute. If you really want to, you know, do good things with your money. I'm going to say that guy is getting a good dollar a minute. He might be getting up to a dollar a minute, maybe.
And the object is to try to keep somebody on the line.
Oh yeah,
as long as you can.
That's how you judge how good they are. How long?
In the chat, sorry, a guest just put in 1-800 butt sex, two B's. I mean,
yeah,
two T's.
Yeah, that bet that one works. You can go ahead and try that.
1-2-3-4-1-2. Yeah, three. That's seven.
If it's that simple of one, yeah, 1-800 anal sex definitely connect. A lot of them are just going to the same ones though. Like they're not that fisting is good because it actually says
it's actually,
you've called
1-800. Yeah,
right. There's like one or two others, but the rest of them will mostly just go to hot girls and action.
Oh, okay, because those are straight ones, right?
I mean, someone bought every phone number, so like a lot of if you 1-800 hot sex might be real, but 1-800 big dick also goes to 1-800 hot sex.
Okay.
1-800 big dick definitely works.
Works for me.
Yeah, we went through a lot of these.
Oh, nice.
When you find these by accident, it is the most exciting moment.
But see, with me, when I was a kid, when I would dial these numbers, I would hear like a recording. But once a girl came on, like a girl would come on live and I would hang up. Not because of the credit cards. I just was like, I didn't want to talk to like a live girl because I was like freaked out. I just wanted to hear a girl talking dirty. And the minute they were like, hey, how you doing? This is Janice 533. Hang up.
Oh, it's terrifying.
I was 15. I was scared. I'm like, I don't want to talk to these broads.
My brother got caught. He didn't get caught like in the actual phone call, but for some reason we get a phone bill and it's like $200 more than it normally was, and there was charges to Guyana and like Morocco.
Oh wow.
And my mother's like, who the hell is calling Guyana? And it just turns out that's where the number was routed to.
Oh. Candy Claps in the chat room said, hi and said, I tried to find a username that sounds filthy but isn't. Candy Claps.
Candy Claps.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
I don't know. It's Claps, I guess. Could be for the clap or the female genitalia clapping. I don't know. Not sure. I don't know. I'm not going to try to figure it out. But hey, no, welcome to the show.
It sounds dirty.
Welcome to the show, Candy Claps.
Yeah, no, glad. Welcome aboard.
Welcome aboard. Yes. So, you know what? I don't want to get into this yet. I want to come back from a break because I definitely want to talk about the whole thing that's going on in Ferguson and now around the country. Because
what happened?
Shut up, Dave. Douche. But how was... Because you're home from for Thanksgiving. How was your Thanksgiving, Dave?
Oh, it was fine. Saw family. I think it's great that like because I have family that are on opposite sides of like politics. Like I have older relatives who are old fashioned Democrats and old fashioned Republicans, and I think it's great that both of them can come together and call the Ferguson protesters animals. I think it's great that they this is like the first thing that they've agreed on apparently. Suddenly, even the Democrats are just being like, "Did you see what they did to the? They burnt the poor church." It's a complicated situation.
Yeah, it's crazy, but no, it's good, man. Were you in New York? Did you go to Brooklyn?
I've been staying in Brooklyn for Thanksgiving. Went to Jersey. Went to my mom's house and then to my dad's. It's nice that they're only like a half hour from each other. So we did the moms and the dads and, you know, we go to the larger family. The dads went after anyway to, you know, see everybody before they leave, like for dessert. And they got the gay uncle and his husband and the two twin girls. And
are
the
they actually married?
Oh, yeah.
Did they actually get married?
They finally got legally married when it became legal in New York. So that's great. You know, it's always good to see them, get my credits in.
Credits? What do you mean by that, Dave?
You know, make sure everyone knows, you know. I support my gay family. Here's the thing. I was more liberal than him before he was out of the closet. So I feel like he kind of owes me because I was like arguing for him, like with the family before we knew he was gay.
Oh, okay.
But also it's just like, they became more liberal a lot after that. And like, I'm like more on my side, like politically, like even they were for the Iraq war at first. I was the only bleeding heart scumbag in the family before they all came back like by 2005 and didn't even remember calling me a bleeding heart.
Right. Because you were totally against Iraq.
Yeah, but no, it was fun. No, it was good. You know, normal Thanksgiving. My mom made ducks. She made ducks instead of turkey.
Yeah.
And, you know,
I don't think I've ever had duck.
She really put the effort in. And the whole time she kept saying, like, you're always saying how terrible a cook I am. Well, look at this. And I am being like, well, mom, you know, what this really just shows is that it was always laziness. You always could have been a good cook.
Oh, you're just laying into your mom.
You know, you just, I can.
Your mom is so sweet, man. That's so funny. Good. Yeah. I love when people lay into their parents.
Well, no, I'm being nice about it, and she's a good mother.
Yeah,
but
you got to keep your parents in line once in a while. You know, bust their balls.
Everyone's got their weak points. Yeah. And with hers, it was feeding her family. She was just bad at it. She made very few dishes. They were all fairly nutritionally bad. And nothing really ever tasted like it's supposed to. It just wasn't her forte, that's all.
Okay.
I'm just saying. And so she made a very nice Thanksgiving dinner. And I said, Mom, you know, all this really proves is that you always had it in you to feed us well. You just waited till you were out of the house with your new husband to do so. That's
that
all.
That is funny.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah, that's brilliant. Yeah, well, now she's probably going on dates, taking cooking classes.
And my mom would somehow make food that was both bad for you and bad tasting. Like, it wouldn't even be a choice. Like, it'd be one thing if at least we, like, ate healthy and that was the problem.
Right.
But, like, her chicken, the way she would make chicken usually would be submerged in duck sauce and baked. Literally chunks of chicken submerged in a casserole tray of duck sauce.
It's apricot.
Yeah. You know duck sauce.
Yeah.
I've never heard anything like that.
It doesn't make any sense. Doesn't taste good?
It tastes good, but like it just tastes like bad Chinese. But it's like it's so bad for you.
Right.
Or like, you know how she made broccoli? She would deep fry broccoli.
Deep fry broccoli.
Not deep fry, but like put like one of those like big frying pans.
Right.
And like with a ton, like where like the broccoli is just completely like crunchy.
Oh, okay. But like, I understand. But not like, even using like olive oil. Because if you use olive oil, it's good for you. But just using like the just the
enough olive oil is bad. But no, yeah, supposed to be like vegetable oil. Where like, you know, if you took the broccoli and you put it in a napkin, like the napkin would be soaked, you know, from like grease. Like that's how she made vegetables. And to be fair, awesome. I never liked vegetables, but I don't, you know, I didn't get to know what they are supposed to taste like at an age where I might have learned to enjoy them. She's a very good mother from most other respects. Look, she made sure we were fed.
Right.
But like she was one of those, like she never understood this concept of like of what processed food being bad. All the food was processed. Everything, all our food was in like individual like packets, you know? Like all.
What do you mean SpaghettiOs are bad?
Yeah, exactly. It's that.
It's pasta and it's sauce. It's got tomatoes in it. Tomatoes are fruit.
She would, you know, a perfect example to this day. I'm just like, she'd make dinner. I'm like, Mom, are you really taking that steak or that chicken out of the freezer and putting it directly into the oven? What am I supposed? Are you going to microwave it instead? No, neither. You can't do either. You can't microwave frozen meat. Like I feel like people think I'm being cruel, but I'm making a goddamn point here.
All right, let's take a break, and when we come back, Matt just got here. We'll talk to Matt, and then
I heard that, Dave.
Yeah, Matt Bridgestone, my pal. And we'll be right back, all right? It's the Conti and Kenny Show on morelikeradio.com.
Fellas, are you looking to spice things up in the bedroom? Been fantasizing about surprising your lover with an adventurous new toy or adult movie? Well, here's an offer you won't be able to resist. Go to adamandeve.com, and for a limited time only, you'll get 50% off just about any item. But that's not all. Oh, no. When you select your one item at 50% off, you'll also receive 3 free adult DVDs for a little inspiration. Plus, a free extra gift so sensual, we can't mention it on the radio. And to top it all off, we'll even throw in free shipping on your entire order. And no, we're not teasing. So check out adamandeve.com today for this special offer. Get 50% off one item when you type DEAL48 for the offer code upon checkout. When you do, you'll get 3 free DVDs, a free extra gift, and free shipping. Just use offer code DEAL48 at adamandeve.com.
Hey smokers, you stink worse than a dumpster. Stop living in the Middle Ages and try an electronic cigarette today by Smokeless Image. Just go to tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke. They're cheaper than regular cigarettes, don't smell, and come in a variety of flavors like fruit, mint, and traditional tobacco flavors. Order your new electronic cigarettes from Smokeless Image today by going to tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke. That's tinyurl.com/MLRsmoke.
Hey man, when you need to look your finest, what do you do?
Well, I grab my favorite t-shirt, of course.
You know, I just knew you were going to say that, and I was going to ask, have you ever checked out T-Fury?
I think so. That's the website with the new t-shirt every day, right?
That's the one. At tfury.com, there's a brand new t-shirt design every day, and each one lasts for only 24 hours, then it's gone forever.
So it's tea today, gone tomorrow?
Exactly.
That's a lot of t-shirts. Where do they all come from?
Well, each design is submitted by a freelance artist, so no two are exactly alike. And the best part? All these tees feature nothing but nerd references. Whether it's movies, TV shows, video games, cartoons, comics, or culture, they're all awesome. And get this, each tee is just $11.
Dude, it looks like I need to update my wardrobe. What's that website again?
Just use tinyurl.com/MLRtees. That's tinyurl.com/MLRtees. Each limited edition tee lasts for only 24 hours, so get over there before time runs out.
Check out today's T-Fury design right now at tinyurl.com/MLRtees.
Hey, you. Yes, you guessed 10,542. Change your username. And while you're in a More Like Radio live page listening to fine quality programming, notice the banner ad just slightly above the chat room? It's a link to something you want in Amazon. Click it. It's probably reminding you to order something you need from Amazon.com. Don't leave MLR and type the URL like a sucker. Just click the link and it'll open in a new window. This way you can buy your shit and continue listening to the show. Now, change your username. It's right there on the right, stupid.
The Conti and Kenny Show. How to listen live? Well, the show's from 7 to 10 p.m., so you can download the TuneIn app and search for More Like Radio, or listen through the chat on morelikeradio.com/live, only from 7 to 9 p.m., then you listen to the last hour on theContiandKennyShow.com, which is ContiandKenny.com. Or just listen to the whole thing on ContiandKenny.com from 7 to 10 p.m. Why is it so fucking convoluted? I mean, do these guys think that the audience is that intelligent?
Saturday's Noon East. Join Halls and Rorschach as they bring you the news you need to get you through your weekend.
Ali, can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, Ali, I'm outside right now. It's really blowing hard out here.
Sounds like it. Where are you at? Are you in Antarctica?
Wait a minute, Ali. I see somebody coming toward me. There's a man coming toward me. Hold on a second. What are you doing in my yard? I'm getting too old for this shit. I just want to say that this snowstorm is a bunch of fucking bullshit. I'm going to let you go back in the house, Rorschach, because the sound effect is about to run out.
Hey guys, it's Halls from It's All About Me. Join Rorschach and myself every Saturday from noon to 2 Eastern Time right here on More Like Radio.
To subscribe to the podcast, get it on iTunes, morelikeradio.com, or contiandkenny.com. And for the special episodes of Shorts, subscribe on iTunes or contiandkenny.com. It's as simple as that. Enjoy Conti and Kenny. Enjoy the Conti and Kenny Show. It's wonderful. It's hilarious. It's, oh fuck, who am I kidding? It's a load of fucking shit. Just listen to it. It's better when Johnny O's on, he's always funny.
Hello? Hello? You are listening to the Conti and Kenya show. Sorry, what? Sorry. The Conti and Kenny Show on, what's it called? MoreLikeRadio.com. You are listening to the Conti and Kenya Show. I said it again? Sorry. The Conti and Kenny Show. MoreLikeRadio.com. It's apparently what you are listening to. This is Barack Obama. You are listening to the, Conti and Kenya Show. MoreLikeRadio.com. Wait a minute, that's what I said. What? Sorry. This is Barack Obama. You are listening to the Conti and Kenny Show. This is Barack Obama. You are listening to the Conti and Kenny Show. I was born in Kenya.
Not
that was a great job you did posting, because that was just me just trying different versions of it,
yeah,
over and over again.
Yep.
And I'm glad that worked.
What a great friggin' rejoiner that is. That's Dave doing his great. I would say that's a very good Obama.
Thanks.
Especially because you don't have to do the mannerisms.
Yeah.
It was just the audio. Fantastic. Welcome back. It's Conti Kenny Show on More Like Radio. The phone number is 240-442-2635. That's 240 high C and K.
Actually, a comic I know recently just asked me to do Obama for an answering machine podcast, like like some kind of answering machine sketch thing, but it's just machines. And he wants me to do Obama.
Oh, really?
Just because he heard the voice before. I was like, that's pretty cool. How nice of you. That's perfect. If I can do Obama, you don't have to see me.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm totally down with that.
Oh, sorry, oh, Matt.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
There you go. Matt Bridgestone's here.
Yeah. I was just about to say.
Thanks to the
apparently
awesome
the guy,
intro.
Third person Matt is here, who talks in the third person, and he's the third guy in the room.
When we were growing up, we were so fucking poor that like my mom tried to come up with these like harebrained schemes to make money, and she likes to rhyme on her answering machine, like, "Hi, this is Eileen. Leave a message at the machine." You know, and she thought it was like fucking genius.
Right.
So she was gonna she put out an ad that she will record your answering machine message for you, and you know, you'd like pay her $10, and she thought this was like a get rich thing program.
Okay.
And, like, one pervert hit her up, and that was it. Some fucking straight-up closet freak. Like, just fucking, like, can you record it for me? He was, like, trying to fucking call her every day.
And yeah, he's using the word machine and spleen. And he's
so great. That was her get lower middle class quick screens.
Your mother's the skinny Jewish female Ralph Cramden.
Well, that was it. It's that and the diet. She was coming up with this thing, Eileen's Way, which is, like, her diet program. She was, like, she gathered us all around. She's, like, "You can't tell anyone in school about this." "But I'm going to start a Weight Watcher program called Eileen's Way, only I'm going to spell it W-E-I-G-H. And I was like, "And I can't tell anyone, right?"
No. Don't want to spill that.
you're swearing that I won't tell it. Okay.
Hey, don't cry over spilled reduced fat milk.
It's like the first time I was like totally cool with listening to my mom's instructions, you know?
Kenny, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, brother.
Kenny! Hey!
What's up, guys?
What's going on, brother?
So we're talking about Ferguson, right?
Real quick, do they still have that that website where you pay a guy like $5 and he'll do, say, if like...
Fiverr.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, everybody immediately thought it was, when Kenny said that you're going to pay a guy $5. It was something you can get done in an alleyway on 56th Street on the west side. But it's called Fiverr. And I think for $5 you can have like somebody... can you read this Obama thing? I want it for my voicemail, or I want somebody to do voiceover work for a podcast, or you know, anything. And people will do that. People will make like you know sound bites for people, and it's $5. Everything is $5. It's called Fiverr.
Does this go in a direction that I would think Joe Conte would take anything for $5 in? Or
no, just believe me, I tried. I couldn't shove the bill, like trying to shove a bill back into an ATM. It doesn't fucking work.
But I just want to say how great it is to it. This I never did radio like this with Kenny. Just being able, like, you can hear him, but it's just awesome not having to have him like here.
Oh, the greatest!
You know.
Thanks,
pal. Yeah, no problem.
So what have you been up to, bro? I know, I mean, I see you once in a while, and I know you're doing your thing down in your little club there.
Yeah.
Everything's going pretty good?
Yeah. We got Bridgestone's Comedy Club. Yeah.
It's in South Amboy, right?
Yeah, man.
The good Amboy.
Near Sayreville.
Look at Matt all grown up.
Not white, really. I found a restaurant that was like fucking tanking, and they were like, "Well, I guess you could try to bring in some comedy shows
cool little,
after night."
Cool little
so,
room.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
sure they
it's not
that.
Not really like I. they're not listening.
He's right. Nobody's listening.
What the fuck? Yeah, man. So it's just this actually really nice restaurant, and it's right in South Amboy, and we just kind of, they have like an upstairs that's really good for comedy. It holds like, you know, 65, 70 people, and it's just ready to, after New Year's, come out with like a regular schedule. Hopefully have shows there every weekend, man.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I definitely want to... I've done it a couple times. It's fun.
It's going to go out of business, Joe. You know how I work, man.
There are guys that are completely and utterly successful putting together comedy shows.
But
it's a disaster.
I mean, you should be taking my advice. I understand you want to do this your way, but my advice has been consistently, if you want to make this a successful comedy club, you need to let the people of that area know this is the place to go to buy coke. Because that is the only way this is going to happen.
It's literally, if people are looking for it, it's literally the building, and everyone listening will know this when I say it. It's the building right before the Delilah's Den that they shut down on Route 35.
Everyone listening to this program knows exactly where that is.
Yes.
Yeah. Anybody who's ever been in New Jersey and has been to a shitty, strip joint.
People are like, I can't find it on the GPS. It says 540, but then it's different on the hot. I'm like, it's by the fucking strip club that closed.
Like, if you can afford a GPS, you can find a better show. Yeah, it's a great show. Okay, real quick, I have one thing to say about Ferguson.
Yes.
I just need to say, we've all seen that viral photo of the 12-year-old black child hugging a white police officer while crying at the Portland protests.
Yes.
Very famous photo. Do you think that kid's going to have trouble in school because of that photo? You think the black child crying while hugging a white police officer at the Ferguson protest is going to maybe not be the most popular kid come Monday?
He's going to tell everyone he got tear gassed.
He better. He fucking better, because that kid, I was like, man, if just a regular 12, any 12-year-old caught hugging a cop was going to get in trouble. Add that you're crying. Mm. Add that you're black and he's white.
Yeah.
Add that it was at a protest against the white treatment of black people by cops.
Yeah.
That kid, he better be the only black kid in his school. Otherwise, he's going to have a real problem. I'm sorry. Is that bad?
You know what? He just better be the only person at his school. All right, let's just be honest. He better be at a school where he's the only kid there.
You're right.
Well, it's called homeschooled.
Yeah, I was going to say. Black kid being homeschooled.
Even the Wiggers would destroy him.
Homeboy schooled.
even the fucking Wiggers would fuck him over.
Yeah, it's, I don't know. My big, you know what, my initial thing about Ferguson is the first of all, I am so sick and tired of angry white people on Facebook putting up a story about either a cop beating up a white person or a black on white crime. And then the famous two questions that they have to put under it right before the story. Where's the outrage and where's Al Sharpton? Okay, let me explain to you. Whether you like Al Sharpton or not, Al Sharpton is
has one job.
He is a paper politician,
yeah.
And his one job that he gave himself.
Yeah.
He made it up, people. This wasn't appointed to him. He wasn't appointed by anybody. He said, I'm going to take this job, and my job is going to be a rabble-rouser or a guy who's going to really make a big deal about every time a black person is either alleged or had some sort of injustice to him. And they go, well, where's the outrage when it's a black on white crime? And I'll tell you something. When you're a white person and you put something on Facebook or whatever and say, where's the outrage? You answered your own question. There is no outrage with white people. It's too big of a group. White people don't get outraged. We all see something that awful happens. And when you know white people do, they go, God, that's awful. My prayers go out to him. Where's more Candy Crush? And that's what happens, okay? Because it's too big of a group. It's white people. It's fucking, what is it, 80% of the... If there were a bunch of Italian kids that were getting beat up by the cops in an area, Italians might start going, hey, wait a minute, what the fuck is going on here? But it's a too non-specific of a group.
And that's our fault, you know, white people, I mean, in the sense that, you know, we kidnapped all the black people from Africa, brought them over here together, prevented them from knowing what country they're from, because if we did, they would be like white people are, where we don't really, normal white people don't have pride in being white. We have pride in being Jewish or Italian or Irish or
Russian.
Which
is still silly, by the way.
Which is silly, but I mean, it would be like...
But I get that specific type of problem.
But I'm saying it'd be so much harder to be racist if you were just like, these fucking Cameroonians are ruining my name. Like, if you had to be specific.
Yes, you have to be specific.
It'd be so hard.
But when you say African, it's like, no, Africa's not a country.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, saying, hey, these fucking Europeans are nothing but fucking slobs. It's like, can you be a little more specific on who you're talking about?
There's nothing wrong with that saying.
Yeah.
Well, that's true. That is true. But it's like, look, if you're expecting Al Sharpton to be around every time somebody has injustice, you're a fucking fool. You're an idiot.
My dad said that today.
My dad said something the other day. Where's he when he's... I'm like, no, that's not his job. That's not what he does. And here's and this is my other theory.
Wait. If there's like injustice for groups other than blacks,
other than blacks, where's Al Sharpton? Like, really? This happens all the time on Facebook, by the way.
But it'd be like if black people brought up David. It'd be like if black people brought up David Allen Coe every time anything happened because he's just like some random white supremacist singer.
Right. Yeah.
Like if you just that's like when everything that happens with black people bring up Al Sharpton. That's how weird it is because like no one just done anything to have to take responsibility for what Al Sharpton does.
Right. Exactly.
They didn't elect him.
Yeah. He's, exactly.
He doesn't even get good ratings.
Somebody had a very next picture that crying black kid's going to take is hugging Tawana Brawley.
80s Tawana Brawley. Jesus.
Well, you know what? As long as we know Al Sharpton,
I have Al Sharpton's number.
As long as we know Al Sharpton's name, we should be allowed to bring up Tawana Brawley.
Yeah. But my other
just wait a couple more minutes. I'm going to have a Head of Nussbaum reference.
Oh, poor Lisa. But my thing is that my problem is that when people get freaked out and they say, well, why is it like when it's a white on black crime? It's all over the news, and then there and every person on Facebook will put a story up. It's a black on white crime, and they go, "Where's the justice?" So I click on it, and I read for about 8 or 10 seconds, and go, "Oh yeah, there's the justice. The story is three black guys kill this fucking white dude, and blah blah blah, and now they're convicted and in jail.
They're getting executed,
Yeah, exactly. It's like, where's the justice? Reading?
Yeah."
Read something. Or this is my theory. And they say, and I kind of agree with them where they go, look, when it's a white on black crime, it's smothered all over the news. Mm-hmm. When it's a white on black crime, it's a blip and it goes away. And I think this is the reason, because the white on black crime, the black on white crime will not get the ratings that the other one does. Because number one, if it's a black on white crime, black people don't give a shit. They're like, really? Oh, well, too bad. Mm-hmm. They don't care. Mm-hmm. And white people, me go back to what I was saying. White people don't give a shit enough to go, all right, every white person in the country, let's meet in Nebraska and we're going to have a protest.
I think because, you know,
we just move.
There's a whole thing in this country where, you know, victim blaming is very unpopular right now. And I get where that's coming from when it comes to like women or other things. You know, there's good points of that where it's like, you shouldn't be blaming Trayvon for wearing a hoodie. You know, he didn't do anything wrong. Or you shouldn't be blaming a woman for living in a bad neighborhood. She didn't do anything wrong. But when a white person gets killed by black people, every white person is like, what street? Like, we all, white people all hold each other responsible for that kind of shit.
It's like, really? What were you doing there?
They don't, most white people don't say, oh my God, black people are murdering us. They'll be like, well, you're buying heroin? What are you doing there? What the fuck are you doing in that town?
And that's the thing.
Blue on a Tuesday.
So that blip of it. And you know what's funny? They're like, well, and they have to put it up on Facebook and go, hey, where's this on the news?
My
Let me
God.
Tell you something. That thing on Facebook, if it was that important to white people, it would get sent,
74 likes.
Sent and sent and resent, and it would become a big news story. These stories are all been told on the news, but the news people know. They know, look, this will not be a big story that we can glom onto and make it a 2-week or 3-week story. Mm-hmm. Because, like I said, white people don't give a shit. They're not going to rally. They're not going to be outraged. They're not going to do anything. And black people are going to go, yeah, so what? Mm-hmm. A white person got hurt or killed? Who cares? So the story, as big as it happens, it will die.
You know what?
Opposite will last.
White stories get popular when like a hot white chick goes missing.
That's a completely different story.
Because then no one knows.
That's a completely different story.
It's like, could be a black guy.
Then it's like, hey, wait a second, what's going on here? Then we become outraged.
Are you Facebook friends with EC Winkler?
Yes.
Because EC Winkler has the most hilariously insane Facebook posts. Yeah. Have you seen some of the shit that he puts up?
How many people I've had to just either delete?
You got
or
rid of Winkler?
No, I don't think so. Oh. No,
No, him you keep because he's like, you get it all at once. See, like this. Perfect example. This is one of his posts from today. And it just shows black all kids right. beat up a white kid. Says, now this is a hate crime.
I hope these kids
because
get caught,
it's white people
up,
who got
and
it.
Shanked. Exactly. And that's the thing. It's like, that's outrage. That's outrage.
Uh-huh.
But where is it? There is none. Because that's all the outrage is.
That was
one
all,
stupid
that was a bunch
post.
Of black kids beating up one white kid. That's what the picture was?
I mean, I didn't click on it, but apparently. Mm-hmm. Probably yeah. a picture from 92.
Exactly. Yeah, it was Reginald Denny. They didn't even realize. It's like, dude, the guy already forgave
that
him.
Happened to my brother Dan. He was selling M&Ms for school and like in Brooklyn for the fencing team. Imagine okay. a Jewish fencer in Brooklyn trying right. to sell M&Ms to like raise money for his equipment and just got fucking jumped by like 12 black kids.
And they took his money.
They took his M&Ms, actually.
Oh, they took his M&Ms.
That's all right. They all probably have diabetes.
He came home with, I remember he came home with like
was
four.
Was that racist?
No, he came home with like
if he was at sickle cell, that would have been
he came
racist.
Home with this big carton of M&Ms with only like four boxes left in it. And I was like, yo, let me get, you know, M&Ms. You're going to report it to the school. He got jumped. Let me get some M&Ms. He's like, it's 50 cents. I'm like, really, man?
And how old was your brother? How old were you guys?
Like 12. I'm like, you can't just put this in as like the write-off on the crime.
And
you know?
Do you really think, like, I mean, he was 12.
Right.
Yeah, you
do you really think he took a beating
they,
or you just, you know, they probably hit him a couple times and then pushed him and then took his stuff, right?
His account of it is all I remember was hitting the ground and all I could see was Adidas. Just surrounded by Adidas, and then
it's funny.
My M&Ms are gone.
They took all the good chocolate, but they left the Almond Joys because that's white candy.
Sometimes you feel like a all right. But the thing is, there's so much about this, like it's when it comes to the rioting, people don't understand. And here it is, when this rioting stuff goes on. Here's the difference between somebody like me, who's not a racist. Mm-hmm. I'm not an uber liberal, but I'm definitely.
Are you talking about looting? You're talking about
the looting. And looting.
Right.
When I see it, I go, man, that's sad. I feel bad for the people that live there that don't do that, that have to live in that. Mm. And you go, what the fuck is wrong with you? Racist people, when they see that, they go, see, I told you. They love it. Racist white people love when black people fucking loot because it validates their true fucking hatred and racism of fucking black people. They love it. Mm-hmm. They don't. They're not sad about it. Let's face it, dude. Nothing really affects our lives. Nothing really affects our lives unless it happens to family or friends or if it's close. I mean, think about it. If it's like, hey, there was a kid murdered in Nebraska. Wow, that's fucked up. Hey, there was a kid murdered in Edison. We're like, that's seven towns away from me. Holy shit. Because it's within a grasp of where, like, hey, I've been there. Mm. Even the Trade Center, you're like, I drove by there. I've been in there. So what? But you have a connection. Mm-hmm. And it validates their fucking hatred and their absolute fucking racist fucking ways. And, dude, do I know why people do that? I have no idea. I think it's a self-esteem thing with them itself, with their community. It's almost like you're like, you know what? Fuck my community. Look what my community's done for me. So they don't, I think it's like.
Does it go that far? They're just kind of like, yo, free shit. Like.
Well, I think that a lot of people that are in there fucking looting are not from Ferguson. They're just fucking people looking to just jump on a fucking bandwagon.
It's just opportunists that are just looking to get
look what happened with Occupy. When Occupy started, I don't think the people who created it thought it was going to be quite the bat signal for crazy people from 100 miles away. Like, they didn't know that the south end of Occupy was going to be filled with face tattoos and people who were already living on the street, already asking for things. Like, it's the same thing. We're like, there's people from very far away who are, a lot of them are just imbalanced and angry and just looking for a place to go. Like, the guy, remember the guy who died in Ferguson shortly after Mike Brown? Who basically everyone said was doing a suicide by cop, and he started walking towards the police. Remember that one? And like people were like, oh, well, the cop shot him. But you know, the guy was holding a knife coming toward a cop. It's whether the cop was wrong or not isn't the point. He seemed to be daring the cop to shoot him, and he seemed like he was mentally ill. That is Those people are going to descend on anything like this. And you can't hold any group of people responsible for everything anyone does. People are not part of a unit. People, they're always going to, like, if you can't just hold everyone there responsible for what individuals do, one, whether it's for good or for bad. Yeah. You can't excuse looting because there was a peaceful protest. And you can't blame the peaceful protesters for someone who wants to throw a brick through a window.
That's true. It's two completely separate entities, but it's almost like they try to make it, well, one is happening because the other, or there's a connection somehow.
Yeah, anytime you raise a ruckus, people are going to show up.
Don't they have like the technology now where cops can like stop people without killing them? I mean,
there are rubber bullets.
He didn't have them on him. Wilson had pepper spray. Which I guess he, you know, didn't want to
I like
use.
It spicy, but I don't like it spicy.
Go fuck yourself, Ken. Why are you giving credence to that horrible commercial? You're right. If Wilson had a taser, this would have been, you know, not a death, probably.
Oh, did you see that girl that got her eye shot out by a rubber bullet?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that's because they're using the rubber bullets. You know, you're supposed to aim for their fucking lower body.
Yeah, or their torso, you know, yeah. I mean...
It'll take you off your feet anyway.
Yeah.
How about some fucking hoses? How about some good old... I'm not saying they should be hoses.
Yeah, I'm actually... Hey, Dave, why don't you clarify what you're saying?
No, I'm actually... I'm
right
saying,
there, David Duke. Slow it down there, Chief.
Yeah,
how about some hoses and German shepherds, huh? Yeah, give me two orders of German shepherds and 14-foot hoses.
No, I'm saying they shouldn't have been stopping people from protesting.
Does anybody have any George Wallace cardboard cutouts?
I'm saying... That's how bad rubber bullets are. I'm just like...
And not like,
I don't mean like fire department hoses.
I know what you're saying.
You know, I mean like I mean like a dad with the spritz and everybody. Like, all right, settle down.
I just saw on the scroll on ESPN that the five Rams players that came out of the tunnel before the game with their hands up, they're not getting disciplined by the NFL.
Discipline for what, though? I mean, is
well,
that
of course, really? Well, yeah. Because they walked out.
I know the NFL is a stick up its ass, but I mean that'd be a little nuts to. That'd be as dumb as when they tried to sue the guy or penalize the guy for praying because it wasn't a Christian prayer.
Yeah.
It's like, are you really guys like? It's like, are you guys that stupid that you don't realize how big a mistake that is?
Yeah, it's like they didn't. All they were doing was saying, "Hey, we think the guy got shot." You know,
unjustly.
That's all they were saying.
Whatever,
have your opinion. Everybody else has their opinion.
They're not even really saying that. Even they're trying to draw the attention to the problem we have in society of people getting shot with their hands up.
But now,
Michael Brown is the case of that or not isn't even what this mostly is anymore.
Right.
It's about at least trying to make people understand cops are often doing things outside of what they should be trained to do.
There are a lot of that. But I will say something. Black people are not immune to that bubble.
Sickle cell?
No, not that. They are not immune to the media. The media that actually makes people think that things are a lot bigger than what they are.
What'd you say? Okay.
Black people are not immune to that thing that the news makes certain topics or incidents bigger than all they are. Like, I'll give you an example. I don't care where you're from, what color you are. Every parent in this country thinks their kid is going to get fucking kidnapped. Every one of them are freaked out to even leave their kid for 2 seconds.
I didn't until just now, but thanks.
But you will, trust me, because your kid's still like within your every moment of your grasp. The moment that kid is like 2 and a half, where she starts walking around, and I understand. You're like, where's my kid? Where's my kid? There she is. Because we have the perception that there are 7 billion pedophiles and kidnappers out there. Because every time something happens, it's all over the news. It's blasted everywhere. And it's up there for days. If you go back and check the history records, the same percentage of kids are being molested. It's a numbers game.
It's whatever the news wants to grab onto.
So I think... Black people are also not immune to that because when this Michael Brown thing happens, when the Trayvon, even though that wasn't a cop, but it was still in that, and they're like, because historically, let's face it, because historically black people have been completely fucking shanghaied by the system, but you can look at it and go, does it really happen as much as we all think or they think? Is it because they're in the same trap as everybody with the fucking media? Are we all in that same trap thinking, oh my God, how many people do you hear? Oh my God, the world today. What kind of a world we live in? Because ISIS fucking cut off a couple people's heads.
Right.
We live in probably the most fucking least, the most civilized time right. in the history of man.
Right, I have heard right. a lot of people claim that racism has gotten significantly worse. And I'm just like, I think you're just paying attention. Like, if you think racism has gotten much, much worse in America, what Shangri-La do you think we used to have, and what year was it?
When was it a lot better than
yeah,
it was
exactly.
now?
When was racism not a problem in this country right. That you're looking back to?
This country kind of had its shit together from, like, 1940 to 1960. It ever. Like, that's it. Maybe 20
do
years.
Do you have any idea what happened in
oh
this
my gosh,
country?
No, I'm just saying. No, of course.
Socially?
No. I'm saying, of course, there were major problems at that time also, but I'm just saying it wasn't, like, fucking, you know, slavery and people fucking.
The dates you need
Jim
to use.
Jim Crow.
The dates you use.
Of course,
use,
I'm not saying it
you
was
need
perfect.
To use 1970 to about 1990, where you know what 70s. Think of any shows you saw in the 70s. Any type of news. It was just what's up, my brother, and fucking white people were looking like black people because of the fucking way people were dressing in the 70s, and the shows that they the way we were able to put out shows like All in the Family and the Jeffersons, where people were able to speak for real. I mean, I mean the stuff that they used to be able to say because it was real language and because they were okay. They were like, hey, things are getting better because the bad shit wasn't that far behind.
At the same time, during that period of time, all you needed was a little money and notoriety, and you could drug and rape dozens of women, and no one would bat an eye. You see? You see the kind of world you were living in?
But now, let's face it, 1960, what was it, 66 or 68, when they signed the civil rights legislation? That was fucking 45 years ago. It was a long time ago. That game of telephone, that it's a long way to get to here, where people are like, hey, shit was really bad. We know shit was bad, but not too many people really, people around right now were in the thick of it. When it was 1975, there were a ton of people that were like, wow, holy shit, things are getting a lot better, because 10 years ago, I wasn't even allowed to look at a fucking white chick. Oh, now yeah. I'm like, hey, you want to go on a date?
People like the 60s, 70s that had the decency to not talk about all the fucked up shit that was going on, like, in their houses, you know, like...
to let dad do what he wanted after dark.
Exactly.
And that whole thing with women, that's a whole other different thing with women.
Yeah, the point is, these time periods we're talking about in the early 60s...
Very small times when people were kind of doing the right thing.
In the early 60s, there were plenty of black people who could legally be prevented from voting or marrying white women in the 60s.
Yeah, so let's say it's 75 or 78. That was 10, 12 years earlier, where people are going, dude, I clearly remember fucking when I wasn't allowed to go into a fucking, I wasn't allowed to go to a fucking voting booth. Now, how many people could say that? Not too many people. So now when something happens, I don't even know what happened with this Mike Brown. I have no idea. I think it was a combination of a kid being fucking overzealous and being an asshole, and a cop being a little bit fucking, you know, a little unnerved worrying about getting fucking killed. I don't know. But the point is, this is huge, and people don't remember. Hey, it was a pretty long, we used to say, hey, it wasn't long ago where shit was fucked up. Now we're actually able to say, you know what? It was a while ago when shit was fucked up.
We're actually at a point now where a black kid being shot by police can be news. That's a step up.
Yes, wasn't news.
You can, up until now, you couldn't even get people to report this because it was just like, what else is new? He probably did something.
Right.
And people at least paying attention. It's unfortunate that this Michael Brown case is one that's dividing a lot of people, only because there are probably other cases that are better examples that are just completely cut and dry
of cops killing people.
Who just, like, the guy who shot him, who the cops claimed committed suicide by shooting himself in the back of their squad car. That guy was a was probably a more easy for people. Even though Michael Brown could easily be a case, but you know, people who hadn't committed any crime, who had no suspicion of anything. Even though Michael Brown, in my opinion, was probably a cop who killed a kid because he got mad that he felt embarrassed by the kid.
But then after this came out, I started seeing other videos of this, like. There was a black family that was approached by cops, and you know, there's like a little girl filming it in the background, and the cop breaks the window, and she's crying, you know, she's crying and everything. Like, I don't know if you still have the video I'm talking about, but I'm not saying that's not also like terrible and should have happened, but it's just like the more that there's like social media and all these things, you could always put more content out there. And law of averages is over time, as the country exists, there's going to be fucked up things here and there that are captured, but it doesn't reflect what's really going on.
Yeah, it doesn't also mean that we shouldn't be using it to try to change things.
Absolutely. No, I mean, you saw there was that cop that was giving that black lady like UFC elbows on the side of the road. Like, yeah. I'm not saying...
She was like homeless or something. He just tackled her.
Right. Yeah. And she should have tapped out. She should have known better. No, I think trying to be a fucking hero.
We have a problem, I think, in general, that not all police are trained equally. Mm-hmm. And not all police are created equally. And I think we need to understand, being a policeman is a hard job for a human being to do correctly. And I think, no, maybe there's nothing wrong with us having a renaissance of how the police and the people interact with each other. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with having a public dialogue and trying to change the way things. And the very first step of that is every cop having a camera on his body. Everyone on every side wants that.
Seems reasonable.
To be honest, Dave, Obama was just going to put something in there, legislation to, I think it was like $1.1 billion or something, he was going to put towards having every cop having a head cam.
I guarantee you Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh were like, what about Serpico? What about the good cops who need to go undercover and have to deal with corruption? And like, you know that they're spinning wheels to figure out how we can be against this.
Exactly.
I think a lot of cops would actually, most cops would be for it, because as many awful things happen, there are a lot of times where a cop gets accused of doing something fucked
up.
Yeah. And there are videos.
They always wish to God there was a video.
They were like, oh, because they have the dash cams and all that. They're like, guess what? Hey, yeah, honey, really? I told you to fucking, I said something inappropriate to you? Oh, really? And then the video shows
I'm going to predict right now that Sean Hannity or Rush Limbaugh are going to say that when we have cameras on cops in Obama's America, that cop's not going to be allowed to let you slide anymore for speeding. And I bet they're going to make that point. I just know they're going to find a way.
I might have a problem with that, because I have to get out of jail free car, my brother being a policeman.
I'm saying, I know they're going to try to find a way of making this a bad idea.
I was talking to a cop yesterday, one of my friends, and he was just saying how now it's just at a point where nobody, like, cops don't get into it because they care anymore. It's just a job. Like, it's not about protecting anything. So, you know, if you could have a thing in place where it's right there in front of you, just prevent all this other bullshit of people, he said, she said, like, you know, it doesn't even sound like it's that expensive from what they spend money on these days anyway.
Shitty low-res black and white cameras, it's not a big deal.
Today President Obama proposed $263 million in funding to law enforcement to help avoid another disaster like the ongoing mess in Ferguson. The proposed three-year funding package contains $75 million for a body-worn camera partnership, which would help states purchase and store the new equipment. It's important to note that the funding comes with the caveat of matching funds from the always tenuous coffers of the state governments. All right, so he'll put money in.
Here's the great thing about this. Sorry, Kenny.
Here's
the great thing about this. There are going to be plenty of people who are going to say, we don't have this money to waste. We don't have this money to spend. Meanwhile, these are the same people who have no problem with all these small town cops getting surplus tanks and fucking like all these little towns are buying up all the surplus army equipment.
And also, it's $375 million. How much does it cost to rebuild a city once it fucking burns to the ground? I think it's a little bit more.
Yeah, it's. I just
real quick. White ass Brent in the chat room. The old guy that got beaten up with his oxygen tank, then carjacked, and then ran over with his car made me sad.
that happened.
They carjacked an old guy with an oxygen tank, and then he was kind of flailing and stuff, and then they ran him over. They stole his car and ran him over.
Who's they? That's always the question.
Yeah, yeah, you're
that's,
right.
I hear the word. That's I, like for years. I've always been the guy about they. The word they is the most like abused word in the English language because during like post 9/11, they became a new word. It became you could use they to justify anything. Be like, well, why are we going into Iraq? They blew up the towers. And like you could, and if you ask for clarification, yeah. They'd be like, well, I didn't mean them specifically, but.
Them.
There's actually Brent posted a picture of the Rams coming out with their. They came out and then they were backing up with their hands up. You know when they introduce all the players. Mm. And if somebody wants to be funny, you could put it to a Motown song, because they're kind of sashaying back and forth with their hands up. And it looks
you let us know when someone wants to be funny, Kenny.
Let's move on. So Matt.
Wait, I was listening to the radio over here, and they were talking about this on, I think, like.
Well, we don't talk. What about
other stations?
No, I'm just kidding.
Oh yeah, okay. That happened to me on another fucking radio.
Really?
Don't
mention other stations,
it sucked.
Please.
I hate to. I will never do non fucking like. You know.
He mentioned AMF. With the call letters. And
no, I was doing some joke about how it was such a lame fucking point anyway, because you can't really make good jokes on that kind of radio anyway. But I was making some point about how the deer must hate Walmart because now they, you know, not only do they like chop down all the wooded areas to put up Walmarts, then they sell the guns and ammo to kill them also. You know, it's just some fucking lame shit about how deer have like a vendetta against Walmart because they're killing their families on two levels. People are like, give me the cut sign. They're dumping out left and right. I'm like, what
really?
The fuck happened? Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, man. They're just they're going nuts over
it. That's what happened to Matt's big radio break.
I was like, I didn't know I could
Walton's talk
about
down.
I was like, I didn't know I could talk about Walmart. They're like, no, you're just not funny, dude.
was that terrestrial?
We're just really not into sure the we're just passionately not into the bit.
It was terrestrial, Kenny Ash.
Shit,
right?
I was making a point. Yeah, I don't even remember what it was. Anyway, this whole thing was can't remember now. Fuck, we got on a tangent.
Stop talking.
Yeah. No, I had a.
You're not making words.
No. This bit started with Eileen's. Eileen's.
Your mom should get a show on MSNBC called Eileen Forward. Just her opening the paper and saying, what's going on today? Which is essentially what Al Sharpton's show is.
Yeah.
It's him. I love Al Sharpton's show. Like, I just don't find him entertaining outside of what I think of him personally.
Right.
Like, just because, like, I feel like he's, as a liberal, I find him way too tainted to be one of our spokespeople. You know, he's had too many fuck-ups in the, you know, in his older past. But he... Just the way that, like, him and Ed Schultz are just liberals. I just don't like watching their shows because it just feels like they just feel a little bit too, like, what happened? Can we bring the Republicans? Like, it's always
about- You know what they sound like? They sound like the conservative versions of them who sound like shitheads, too.
Yeah, Ed Schultz sounds like Rush.
Yeah. Exactly.
Just be like, do you think Ed Schultz, the best about Ed Schultz is he'll have his polls on his website. Like, we took a poll. Do you think Rush Limbaugh should apologize for what he said about Sergeant Fluke? 99% of you said yes on our EdSchultz.com poll.
Of course. Like, who's going to go on
like,
there?
Why would you even tell us this?
Yeah.
this might be a little, I'm not sure if you guys have seen, but you know, Nancy Grace. Have you ever watched more than 30 seconds of Nancy Grace?
She's probably one of the most easily hateable people on television.
It really is. She'll be talking about like some kid that's missing or something like that, and they'll have some retired detective from like Punxsutawney County Sheriff's Department, and they're like, "What do you think?" And he's like, "Well, they say in the report that the wind was blowing," and she's like, "Well, the wind was blowing. What does that mean? How does that?" And you're like, "That has nothing to do with." Anything?
Did you ever see when
I'm looking at? I know what you're gonna talk about.
No, you don't.
Oh, okay.
I was gonna talk about the Duke lacrosse thing she did.
Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
When she did a thing where she was trying to tell a funny joke on her show, and what she did was she was talking about the Duke lacrosse rape trial, and she said, "We're going to go to Tommy, one of their people, to talk about the Duke lacrosse team." And then Tommy starts just telling the sports stats of the team. Mm-hmm. And everyone knows Nancy Grace doesn't have sports. It's right. not a fucking news show. Anyone with half a brain can see this is a bit. That, like, why is he telling a sport? And then she stops him, and I guess she thought this was going to be a joke, but it's like she forgot, and she just started, like, attacking him or being like, "We are talking about girls, a girl who was raped. You should not be. I don't care about their statistics." And, like, it was clearly meant to be a joke, and she had no idea how to convey that. So you have this guy up there just standing there on live TV, just being dressed down by his boss for the 5 minutes before. She was like, "This is going to be great. This is going to be so funny."
She tells every story. She starts every story like it's like another 9/11, like some plane just crashed into the Freedom Tower.
Have you guys seen the newsroom thing? The show, The Newsroom. There's a scene where they break down what Nancy Grace does.
No. Oh, I was hoping Jeff Daniels had diarrhea again.
No, but if you want, I'll play it.
Nothing.
It's,
sorry.
It's yeah. No. Sorry.
I'll be quiet.
Yeah. You just, Kenny, just behave, all right? Just fucking behave. All right, this is The Newsroom. It's a scene in The Newsroom where they're all in this one room, and the one guy comes in, plays a video of Nancy Grace, and breaks down exactly what she does. It's absolutely brilliant.
All right, cool. This woman is the best I've ever seen. Center screen is Nancy. These three corners are live feeds of the guest experts.
What are they experts in?
Agreeing with everything Nancy says, but what keeps your attention... Excuse me.
Go ahead. What keeps our attention?
Is the bottom right corner where they're playing a loop of little Kaylee from a home video.
Question, Hal. Do you think it's as bad as everyone says it is?
That was actually a tribute to Kaylee. But how will they explain the duct tape around the child's mouth and nose? And how will they explain all the lies that Top Mom told?
Now, they're not talking about the tattoo on Casey's back, but they put it full screen. Why? Because Tess was just about to look somewhere else, so they changed the frame to anything that might keep her attention.
He's right. I was going to Google Max Hell question.
Plus, tattoo equals bad mom. No one's ever gone broke in America serving up a woman who makes other women feel superior.
The series of lies that finally came crashing down around her. If she would lie about that, why should I believe an accident? Is true.
Don't spend time thinking about her airtight syllogism or EP showing duct tape in a plastic bag so you know you're watching the real CSI Miami.
Chloroform. How to make weapons out of home materials found in the home. About breaking necks. How can they explain that?
They can't explain it, Nancy. The defense is doing what the defense has to do. They may throw...
Now, Bill Schaefer's done his job. He agreed with Nancy. We don't need to see his face anymore. So look how cute Kaylee is. She deserved better than a mom with a tattoo. She deserved. She deserved.
Me.
Me.
Me. Tess, how's that Google search coming?
It does look pretty bad. A lot of fire.
You'll notice little of her coverage in this instance is about the law.
You know, come to think of it, I did notice that.
It's all
that.
Based on an emotional appeal, the way she would with a jury if there was no judge there to stop her. Watch how she breaks down courtroom footage.
Liz, let's see the video of Tot Mom and Jose Baez back at it in court again today. Not a good look between a death penalty defendant and the lead defense attorney.
2 seconds. 2 seconds of Casey Anthony walking past her lawyer, and she'll show it to you in slow motion and from a different angle and at regular speed and from the original angle again. What does that remind you of?
Instant replay in sports.
And she looks pretty pissed at her lawyer.
And that's exactly why she's showing it to you so many times. So you have a chance to draw your own thoroughly uninformed opinion about an utterly innocuous exchange. She looks pissed. I wonder if she's sleeping with her lawyer. I bet she is. I wonder if that's what she looked like when she killed Kaylee. This is the best TV ever. I gotta go on my Casey Anthony Facebook page and see if my Casey Anthony Facebook friends just saw Casey Anthony make a Casey Anthony face at her Casey Anthony lawyer.
All right, enough. Will's a criminal prosecutor. Maybe he can talk about how our justice system wasn't built to lock up guilty people.
All right, now it gets into their because they wanted to cover it, but they wanted to do it like
legitimately. How did you find that so fast?
I put Newsroom and Nancy Grace, Kenny. It's amazing how YouTube works.
Oh, no shit. I never saw that before.
Yeah. When Kenny wants to watch a YouTube video, he calls his nephew and he says, find me that video with that guy who sits on the thing. The red thing.
Do you have...
That's a Saturday night. I went and watched my nieces who were 11 and 9. And they're like, we want Papa John's. You get two pizzas, four toppings, and a cookie pizza. And I'm like, all right, well, where's the shop? They're like, I don't know, just order it online. I'm like, how the fuck do you do that? How do you order pizza online?
You're right.
How did I know to come to my house?
Are you in your 30s? What the fuck?
He's 38 years
he's
old.
He's in the 30s.
I just want the what's the address? I want the, where's the shop? I want the number. I'll call them and speak to somebody and tell them what I want. And that's how you order. No, we just do. Here's the
pizza parlor.
She gives me the tablet.
Is Ethel there?
Kenny's like, hey, can you believe it? I was talking to somebody, and then his picture came up, and I was looking at him when I was talking to him.
Every
it was
place $14.99 for two large pies. What happened to a nickel a slice?
Everywhere Kenny calls, he has a guy that he asks for. he just has a fella's name that he asks for. He calls his car insurance. Is George there? George is my
car insurance guy. You're so right. I want to talk to Keith. Can you put Keith on the phone?
He just picks up the phone, taps the thing 10 times to go straight to the operator, and then says, hello, Agnes, I'd like to call insurance today.
When Kenny goes and pays his health insurance, he goes to a weird fucking building, goes into a back door, and goes... And then he goes in and he makes his payments.
Yeah, I get into an accident. Give me Hanover 347. I got a claim.
He's such a disaster.
I just see this on CNN. Bill Cosby resigns from Temple University board.
Yeah, I heard about that this afternoon.
They made him a doctor, and now that's no more.
It's his doctorate.
You can't take away a doctorate, though, right?
I got 22 likes on my Facebook status this week that Netflix is... putting out his new show called Grown Women Say the Darndest Things.
Did you tweet that?
Yeah.
Good for
That's
you.
That's awesome. Somebody put a real funny thing about Al
Sharpton,
too.
And he'll be using
too.
That at Bridge.
Go ahead, Kenny. Shit on me. Go for it.
Somebody said, hey, if they do an Al Sharpton stamp, are we going to go with the skinny Al Sharpton or the fat Al Sharpton? I say, you got to go with the fat Al Sharpton.
Oh, you got to go with running suit, gold chain Al Sharpton.
Absolutely, yeah, with the bad 80s hairdo. Yeah. Unbelievable.
White S. Brent says,
they should have the option.
Why.
Like, if you just have to mail a single envelope, you can get the skinny one. But if it's bulk, you can put many Sharptons together and just create one giant Sharpton puzzle.
And by the way, I'm loving the fact that when Kenny says something, you guys end up fucking trampling over him, because all it does, it just teaches him that's what happened when you fucking Skype in.
Yeah.
Fucking bad partner.
It's true. We have.
I know.
And he's not. And they're not doing it on purpose either. It just did.
Not at all.
It's that millisecond fucking. Yeah, it's that millisecond.
Why couldn't you make it here tonight?
He had stuff going on.
He's always got the worst.
He's got stuff going on.
It's raining in his car.
The restaurant and my nuts itch. And,
gentlemen. This is Democracy Manifest.
Kenny was doing a speech. I don't know if you guys...
Yeah. Well, I'll be there Thursday and Monday.
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys do a lot of this stuff.
Oh, ridiculous.
But Joe is like, I got to go to Delaware to do something with Lee.
No, it's great now. I do it right from my house. I Skype in with Bob, but I'm doing 10 hours with Bob. Now, then I do 2 hours with Kenny on Monday, and now we're doing... 2 hours on the weekend up in at the Boston station, and I'm doing 14 hours of radio a week.
I just don't get it. You have like a full-time non-paying job.
Pretty much, yeah. It's fucking unbelievable.
Well, 14 hours a week is full-time for Matt. That's true. That's what Matt considers a heavy week.
Oh, man. What do you think, Kenny? You want to take another quick break? And then
we'll take a real one.
Not even.
I was going to say I have a kid now. It's different.
You have to work.
It's 20 hours.
You have to work. Now you have to work for a long. You have to work later hours now because that's when the manager leaves. You can steal roast beef and bring it back to your family. That kid was 4 days old. He was like, that kid better learn to eat kashrut. That kid better learn to eat kasha varnish kids in the next month. Because that's all he's getting. This isn't funny at all, is it?
Pick something real quick from the bag of nuts thing that you want to play.
From the bag of nuts thing,
I got grumpy old men.
Opios.
Oh, yeah, let's do opios.
I want to do opios.
Yeah, I love
all that. Right, this is Matt on the vocals with did anybody write this with you? You wrote this just by yourself?
Were you in this, Matt, or did I write this alone? I think I wrote this alone.
I don't remember.
Yeah, this was I think just me.
Yeah, this was from our 2002. Little comedy CD we made called The Bag of Nuts Sticking Together. Yeah, why did I even say that? We'll be right back.
I was against that.
I just laughed. No, I mean, I laughed at the
name. Hey, kids! It's me, Opie the Owl! Hoot, hoot! And you know what gets my day started? A healthy dose of opios! Part of a balanced breakfast, the only cereal with nutritious roots and oats, mouth-watering marshmallows, and savory synthetic opiates. Because if you're like me, sugar alone ain't getting you out of bed in the afternoon.
Opie, what does opios taste like?
Susie, it's like a billion licks of ice cream at once. Like a spoonful of birthday party on the moon. Like you'll never ever be able to stop eating it.
Mommy, can I have opios for breakfast?
Oh, no, not today, dear. Mommy made you pay.
Goddamn bitch, I want opios!
Go fill yourself a bowl today! And don't forget, our new Honey Blunts of Oats. Also coming soon, Giddies! The chewable Zoloft that tastes like candy. Hey, Susie, can I have some?
No, Opie, get your own!
Oh, come on, Susie, I really need it, I'm sick.
Sorry, Opie. Opios are for us kids.
Seriously, kid, it hurts so much. Just the taste. Please, I'll do anything.
Silly Al. Opios are for kids.
Listen, ho, say it again and I'll stick this spoon through your eye. I don't give a hoot. Oh, God, I'm sorry, Susie. Dear Lord, what have I become? You see, Susie? You see how opios will leave you? Damn opios took away my life.
I'm sorry, Opie. I promise to never eat opios again. Hey!
Sucker, yoink! My bowl now! See you in hell, little girl! And don't forget to eat a healthy breakfast!
Recently on the Conti and Kenny Show.
It's sad that it's over, but I'm glad because now at least my Sunday nights, I can just, I can do more things and
yeah.
Although now we watch Once Upon a Time. Yes, call me a faggot and hit me in the face with a scrub brush. But yeah, I watch Once Upon a Time with my girlfriend. Okay.
Oh, my shit. Scrub brush? What are you, in a 1925 infirmary?
I don't know, but I'm sure Dave Ingram from Copenhagen is going to be sampling that and making that into a fucking sound clip.
With a scrub brush.
Call me a fag and hit me with a scrub brush. But
that's a fucking best combination of words I've heard in a long time.
But yeah, we watch Once Upon a Time.
The Conti and Kenny Show. Talking bollocks for fuck knows how many years. You know what I mean? And I do my little turn on the catwalk.
Yeah, on the catwalk. All right, we're back. That was quick. We had we had Radio Gold going on. Well, the mic's off.
On the I remember.
We got a few more minutes left to finish up the show. It's a Conti and Kenny show. Of course, Kenny's on the Skype. We got Matt Bridgestone here, and of course Dave Cyrus. And you guys are on Dave's on Twitter at Brickstone News.
check Matt, out the Archie Black stuff.
M_Bridgestone
Barely. Matt is barely on Twitter.
Yeah, not that much.
Matt doesn't tweet much. But you can also check me out at God Hates Brickstone for my Westboro videos, my hate group interviews, and go to ArchieBlackMovie.com to see a movie we all did together with great comedians like Jim Norton and Bob Levy and Otto and George.
Yeah, definitely. Archie Black Movie, right?
Yeah.
Definitely. It's great.
I got the copies in my car for you, too.
Yes, I haven't seen those yet.
Yeah.
All right, okay. So what we're talking about, we
all right. When Kenny, I forgot my train of thought before and you guys all started ripping on me, it was actually
Spit it out, Matt.
Decent point I was making. That what I was listening to the 101.5 on the way over, and they were talking about Ferguson and how, you know, they should have put his hands up and the whole thing. But radio's so fucking offensively tired. Like, first of all, they only were taking phone calls from white people that they were just like, they shouldn't do this at work, and everyone was
just agreeing. Is that Dominski and Doyle, the fake Laffer dudes?
No, it was Trevelise. But then they took like one black lady, and she was like, you know, they have the right to make their statement. This is America. And he was just like, I disagree. And they just fucking start playing Hands Up in the background.
Hands up, like, baby, hands up.
Like, just because
that's radio. Oh. Because no matter what the story, you got to find a song. It's to them, that was no different than doing a song with the word, than doing Manic Monday on Monday. That was no different to them. And in their heads, then, all right, this is about the story about a kid who was shot in the face with it, had his hands up, and he said, don't shoot. Hands up. Also, we have some very terrible news today. There was a riot in Ferguson, the protest. There was a church burned down, so our hearts go out to the family. And the roof is on fire.
Burning down the house.
Ray Bowles, we have all House on Fire related songs all day today to show our respect for the poor victims of the fires and like, did they do this when Hurricane Sandy came in, where they were just like, we are begging everyone to please get out of New Jersey if you can, lock up your doors, do not try to hang in there.
Raindrops are falling on my head.
This is a terrible event. We want everyone to be very careful.
Yep. And then, but for now, everybody please enjoy the Scorpions, Rock You Like a Hurricane. Yeah.
You know, it was very sad news. Tracy Morgan has been seriously hurt in a car accident. One comedian has died. Artie Fuqua is also very hurt. This is extremely sad. I have nothing else to say, so we're just going to go to Big Wheel, Keep On Turning! We're going to take this trucking convoy home.
Here in my car.
Yes, the Son of Sam shootings just happened, and we're playing Here in My Car. Here in My, and right now we just found out that another prostitute was murdered by the Green River Killer. He picked her up in his automobile, drove her, cut her head off, and threw her in the river. Get out of my dreams! Get into my car!
Here's another 80s reference, the Happyland Social Club, Disco Inferno.
You're not getting the bit right, Kenny. You got to say the news story.
Yeah, don't just do the title of the book.
I know, that's how I did it.
You were like, yeah, Happy Land News. It's like, how about telling us what the fuck it was? Do the news story.
This very, very sad story. A mother in Queens, her daughter was kidnapped. They found her body in a storm cellar. This is one of the saddest days I've ever had as a broadcaster. I want my baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back, baby back.
A family today. Unfortunately, we're taking pictures on the side of the Grand Canyon. And they fell and perished on the rocks below. Let's play Judas Priest Hot Rockin'.
Man. I thought you were doing a different story. That worked great because I was like, all right, we're off this now. It's a totally different thing.
No, I'm still with you.
Oh, my God.
This is one of the saddest stories I've ever seen. A newborn baby was snatched up by a condor in Northern California. This is just one of the saddest things we've ever heard. So we're playing Free Bird, everybody. That baby's as free as a bird now.
I feel like...
There was a man going through the college, Ithaca College today, going around having sex with young girls and finding out that the man had AIDS. We're going to play Kiss on My List by Hall & Oates.
for because I couldn't think of a fuck song. I figured
this is why I was afraid to do it.
The man has had
unprotected sex.
And Michael Jackson's Beat It.
The man had sex with multiple underage girls. He is HIV positive. This is being considered attempted murder. So let's go to Pop That Pussy. We're gonna real quick play Pop That Pussy, and. And also, a very sad story. A suicide has rocked the small town in Spokane. A local church leader announced that he was leaving his church due to monetary problems and has then killed himself. So we're going to go do Filter with Hey Man, Nice Shot. Another school shooting today happened, and another school shooting happened. Several children shot by an autistic shooter. We don't know many details, but real quick, Pat Benatar, hit me with your best shot.
And then we'll follow that up with
the president has been shot. Actually, that song was popular when Reagan was shot.
It was, yeah.
So does that mean
81.
That there had to be a radio guy who was like, President Reagan has been shot, and then someone was like, shit. Should we put on Pat Benatar?
Right. Or should we wait?
Or should we not put on Pat? Okay, don't put it on.
There was a school shooting today in Oregon, and they let all the kids, everybody left the school premises, and we're trying to find out if there's any victims. Next, we're going to play School's Out by Alice Cooper.
School's Out for some. Oh, this is a very, very, very sad story. This happened in a northern Utah school, a very rural area. There's a big white power presence, and one of the children was kidnapped, was accosted in the hallway, strangled, dragged into the men's room, and set on fire. So here's Smoking in the Boys' Room.
Colorado dickhead in the chat room says there was a terrible rape. It was a bunch of kids, and they said, "Hush, hush, keep it down now." And the song playing was Voices Carry.
There was a very terrible story today. A young girl was drugged and she believes sexually molested at a party in Utica at a college event. And this is just one of the saddest things we've ever heard. Our heart goes out to her family. Here's an excerpt from Bill Cosby's 50.
We have a tragic story at a warehouse at the TRW building in Wharton, New Jersey. One of the automated, one of those automated forklifts accidentally malfunctioned, and one of the big, huge computers fell onto one of the women who were in the warehouse doing some work. We're going to play a little Mr. Roboto by Styx to just accommodate for her family's loss.
I got one.
Okay. That one fell short.
There's a... Today we're commemorating a war veteran from Afghanistan. Unfortunately, we found out we'll be getting his legs amputated. Let's dance the last dance coming up next.
Actually, I have the song. We have one of his, so terribly, one of his people in the, I can't even think of the co-military people, a female also lost part of both of her legs. And we're going to play this song.
I wanted you to wait till I had a good one, you know?
It was on. I hate this fucking button. It would have been better if I would have said
today
it.
Today, the Twin Towers were hit by two planes. Let's play It's Raining Men.
All right. I think we should just end on probably one of the most offensive things we've said. we do have a bunch of news people going into the streets of Ferguson, and we're not racist here at Fox, but we figured we would play Welcome to the Jungle for all of our... All right. Let's get the fuck... Oh, man. All right. We're going to get the hell out of here. Matt, thanks, bro.
This was awesome.
Thanks for coming, dude.
Yeah.
And if Dave, of course... You know, it was great, Just anything you want to plug, go ahead, throw them out there.
December. Oh, this Saturday, man, we're shutting down the Taj Mahal down in AC. This is going to be our last show there because they're closing.
Oh,
Saturday
okay.
night at the Blue Velvet Room inside of Scores at 8 o'clock. Mr. Will's going to come out, And yeah, it's gonna be a good time, man. If anyone wants to come see us at the Taj Mahal, hit me up at MattBridgestone@hotmail.com. I can tell you all about it.
Why don't you promote Nomad Comedians?
Yeah, I got to put the dates up, but NomadComedians.com.
Right?
Yeah, yeah. Or we're gonna be December 12th and 19th over at Bridgestone's Comedy Club. Again, if you want any details on all this, hit me at MattBridgestone@hotmail.com. I'll tell you where we're gonna be.
Awesome. Dave, of course, your movie, which is ArchieBlackMovie.com.
Yeah, go to that. You can see a bunch of some of the best comedians alive talking about a fictional worst comedian who ever lived. It's like a cross between the Aristocrats and a roast, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
And also, you can check out my videos. Just look up Brick Stone or Brick Stone News or God Hates Brick Stone. You'll see me talking to various hate groups and people and just making them look stupid. And
very, very brilliantly, I will say.
Just to let you know, Dave, I reposted something from the Archie Black movie on a Facebook, and one guy was like, "It's like the Aristocrats. This stuff is amazing. Bravo!" Oh, so, well done.
A lot of people don't like it.
Yeah, no, it's great.
A lot of people don't like it.
Turns out I have a lot of fans who really don't get anything.
Sorry, I was just finishing up my tuna map. Kenny, do you want to plug anything? Of course not. I'll plug something.
How about December 19th?
Whoa!
We'll be at Son of a Bitches in...
where the fuckville, right?
Yeah. I'll post it on Facebook, but it's me, Johnny O... Keith Carnival, Rich Carucci, and Joey Gay doing our benefit for Otto.
Oh wow!
It was a holiday party we did for many, many years.
It was a holiday party.
Lou Mateo was the owner.
They did it every year with Otto. So this year they're going to do it, but they're going to do it as not a fundraiser, but a tribute. It's going to be a tribute to Otto. That's right. Very good, man. Look at you doing fucking stand up.
I'm back, brother.
Right. Yeah, sure you are. Okay.
Yeah. Well, they said, do you want to do it? I'm like, no, I don't want to do that really. You know, like it's $2.50. And I'm like, good, I'll do it.
Oh, okay, good.
$2.50.
Nice. And of course, check out mine and Kenny's show on Friday and Saturday nights on WMEX. That's,
yeah, I'm just to let everyone know, I'm working on my Lusitania material.
That's the ship that got blown out the raid in like the 20s.
Is that good?
Oh, that's Caddy, great. Man.
But if you want to find out anything about how to listen to our show
so corny
on Friday and Saturday nights, go to contiandkenny.com.
I'm doing
right
it
on the front page.
I love it. By the way,
this is the anniversary of Eric Clapton's child falling out of the window. God. So we're going to go quick to From Wicked, I Think I'll Try Defying Gravity.
Oh, I thought you were going to do a little Catch Me If I'm Falling.
I was going to do Define Gravity.
All right. And I think that's it. Of course, I'm going to be headlining a gig down in someplace in Ocean on January 17th.
Hey, Matt, they just posted in the chat room. Nice room there, brother. That's a nice room.
It's cool. It's it looks...
White Ash Branch is Bridgestone's Comedy Club this Friday.
Oh, nice. Who posted that?
Did you hear about that?
White Ice Brand, our
online producer. Produced.
Did you hear about they finally
Joe
got
Conti also will be headlining a comedy show on December 20th with JJ Comedy. Ooh, child, things are going to get easier.
Did you hear?
I don't get that.
Did you hear about the serial killer husband and wife team that were going? This is actually a real thing. They were going around and they would like drug these women and drag them back and they would kill them. Because the night belongs to lovers. Because the night.
Shit. All right. It doesn't even matter what I'm going to plug. Who cares? Just ended. The show ended so fantastic. All right. Kenny, I'll talk to you later on. Don't bother me. I'm going home. And Matt, good to see you.
Yes.
Dave, of course, good to see you.
Pleasure.
And we'll see you, everybody else, later. And don't forget to do what I told you.
And Secret Show Thursday.
Maybe.
Ow. Anybody there? Hello? Did you guys leave?
Well, so long, loser. I'll see you next week.